come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? It's a great one to worship him with. Here we go. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 14, NIV. Okay, we're going to do it again. We're going to worship him. Here we go. He was given authority, glory and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 14, NIV. Good job. Okay, put your Daniel hats on. Here we are. Here we go. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian. Dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Good job.
All righty. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing? Yes. Do you have a good day? Yes. This evening is going to be awesome because we're going to look into God's Word. And every time we get into God's Word, it is a good night, right? Yes. Amen. All right, well, this is called Daniel chapter 7, the four beasts. I don't want you to get scared or anything, okay? It's just the four beasts, that's all. Nothing to be concerned about. How many of you dream? I dream just about every night. It's very active dreaming. I can't remember. As soon as I wake up, I have no idea what just happened. I just know that it was very active. And Vince, my husband, can hear me talking in my sleep, moaning, groaning. Half the time I don't believe that, but he says it every time, so I do have to believe him. One time in one of my dreams, I was ready to punch somebody, and all of a sudden, I've got the wrong hand. All of a sudden, I was going like, Vince said, "What are you doing?" A poor guy would have punched him right in the face. Another time that I'm not really supposed to talk about. I was going to bite somebody. And seriously, I had my mouth on his arm. He woke up and said, "Stop it." So, yeah. So I dream a lot, but my dreams have no prophetic meaning. There's no message from God in them. I can't remember them, and honestly, they are just weird. So tonight, we're going to look at a dream that Daniel had, and it frightened him. It greatly troubled him, but it was from God, and it had a message for us. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you would just open your word to us, Lord. We know that every single word in your book is written on purpose. And Lord, these beasts are something that is not supposed to scare us. It's supposed to show us something, some message from you. So help us to discern that this evening. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, the first six chapters in the book of Daniel are historical books. They're history. They are about real events that happened in Daniel's life. In the first chapter, we talked about the deportation of Daniel to a foreign country and his assimilation into Babylon. In the second chapter, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar's dream of that statue, and Daniel had to interpret that for the king. Chapter 3 talked about the fiery furnace, a real event. Chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream about the tree, and Daniel had to interpret that. Chapter 5, Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel had to interpret that. And then last week, Joy talked about Daniel in the lion's den. So all of those were actual, factual events that happened. But now we get into the second half of the book of Daniel, the next six chapters. And this talks about prophecy. And prophecy, I looked it up, is a prediction of something to come. But when you get into what is biblical prophecy, it's the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. So in other words, this is God telling us something on purpose. All right? So it's something that we want to be able to understand because it's not a mystery. He has written it for us to understand. So let's read, if we could, Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens were stirred up by the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. So we see in Daniel's dream, he had several visions, and I think it's interesting that these started in the first year of Belshazzar. So these are not chronological chapters from chapter 7 on, but they happened during the first six chapters. Does that make sense? Okay, so they're not all in order. So what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Well, a dream is something that you see while you're asleep and you're unconscious. A vision happens when you are awake and you are conscious. So that's just the difference, because I didn't know what the difference was. I thought it was the same thing. So Daniel's at his home, and he writes down the dream that he remembers. And it said in verse 1, he wrote down the main facts. So does that mean that there was more details? I mean, it's terrifying enough as it is. But he wrote down the main facts. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And in verse 2, talking about the four winds, usually a great sea usually talks about humanity, okay? Like the, what do they say? Humanity, sea of humanity. That's what I'm thinking of, the sea of humanity. And Daniel sees the four beasts coming up out of the water. So now we need to compare the dream that Daniel's going to have with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in chapter 2, because they're the same thing. And the cool thing about God is he'll give us a little picture, and then later on in the scriptures, he adds to it. Then later on, he adds more so that we can put all of these together and see a full picture of what the Lord is trying to say. So let's look at the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. This is about 45 years after Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. Remember that he dreamt of a statue. The head was gold. The arms and chest were silver. The belly and thighs were made out of bronze. The legs were iron, and the toes were iron mixed with clay. And Nebuchadnezzar, a man, saw this vision in a man's form. He saw precious metals. He saw gold. He saw silver. When we get into Daniel's dream, and the interpretation of that one is from God's perspective, and God sees kingdoms as beasts. So let's take a look at that for a second. All right, here's the statue. Here's the first beast, and this is in verse 4 says, "The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till his wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it." So what Daniel sees here is that this kingdom represents the Babylonian Empire, and Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most famous kings of this empire in this time. And Nebuchadnezzar was prideful, but he lost his power. It's like wings were plucked off of him, okay? So he was high and lifted up, he got plucked off. What happened, do you remember in the dream? Okay. In Daniel chapter 4, he became like a wild animal. He ate grass, he drank dew, he stayed out there until God got his attention. And the Bible says his sanity returned and he became a man. And that's what this first lion looks like. He had the eagle's wings. They were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and was given a man's heart. So that is a picture of the Babylonian Empire. The second beast that comes, it parallels to the arms and chest of silver, and that's the Medo-Persian Empire. And that was led by two different groups of people, the Medes and the Persians. So they bound together, and that was their kingdom. And it's interesting that you remember when Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall? That very night, the Medes and Persians came in and took over that kingdom. So we literally went from a golden head to silver arms in just a matter of one night. So when the Medo-Persians came in, different leaders rose up, and this was like a bear. And a bear is strong and vicious. And it said in verse 5, let's see, "And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they thus said to it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.'" So this beast, this bear-like, who's represented by the Medes and Persians, it was raised up. And that raising up signifies that because it was a kind of a dual empire, the Persians were stronger than the Medes. So that's a symbol of the bear, that strong power was raising up, because the Persians were more powerful. And the three ribs in its mouth could mean that one of the things that this Medo-Persian Empire was known for was having three different groups of land that they conquered, that they brought into their kingdom. So that could be represented by the three ribs in his mouth. And so that was the second beast. So Daniel actually lived between those two beasts, through the Babylon and through the Medo-Persian Empire. The next one that comes is parallels to the belly and thighs of bronze, and that would be the Grecian Empire. So the Babylonians were first, the Medo-Persians took over the Babylonians, the Grecians, the Greeks, took over Medo-Persia. All right, now this is likened to, well, let's read it. Verse 6. "After this, I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on his back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it." So this leopard, as I said, was like the Grecian Empire, and it looked like a leopard. But it, too, had four wings on its back. So leopards are fast, but a winged leopard would be even faster. And so this tells us that this Grecian Empire was very, very quick in coming in and taking over even more land and expanding. And one of the major rulers in the Grecian Empire was Alexander the Great. When he came in, when his father died, he took over. And, I mean, he went all over the place conquering. And at age 32, he was ready to die. He got wounded, and he was ready to die. At that point, he was married, but he didn't know that he was going to have any kids. His wife was pregnant at the time. So instead of going to his child heir, his kingdom was divided between his four leader generals. So that's why this leopard is represented as having four heads, because this kingdom of Greece was broken up into four different pieces. And an interesting little fact here, you see this little guy? This is a gift from Mexico, a recent gift to the United Nations, and it's called the Guardian of International Peace and Security. I don't know if it's just me. I think that looks like a leopard with wings. And you know what I have discovered, ladies? If you look, there is a lot of weird stuff going on in the world today. I mean, seriously. We'll talk about some of that in a minute. But anyway, I thought this was kind of interesting because that looks like Daniel's leopard. Just saying. All right, so we've seen the first three kingdoms rise to power and then decrease in history. And I really believe that we are right at the door of this next kingdom. So let's look at verses 7 and 8. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth and was devouring, breaking in pieces, trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Let's just stop right there. This beast is a little bit different than the others. The others were like a lion, like an eagle, like a bear, like a leopard, like bird's wings. They were living, warm-blooded creatures. This, Daniel sees, is different. It's like very metallic, cold, extremely evil. So this last beast is something that we need to pay attention to. So the last beast that Daniel sees will correspond to the legs of iron. And of course, the Romans took over the Grecian Empire. And they were very, very strong. It looked like a beast, but it was different. Rome has been called the Iron Monarchy. And Rome lasted about 700 years. Remember Jesus' birth, life, death, was all under Roman rule. The disciples, the book of Acts, all lived under Roman rule. It was a very, very harsh kind of a kingdom, so to speak. Let me read you some of the, well, this is at the height of the Roman Empire. These are the lands that were under Roman rule. And I thought this was amazing because I had no idea it was so big. So at the height of the Roman Empire, today's countries would include England, Wales, Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Belgium, Gibraltar, Romania, Moldova, Ukraine. The coastal northern Africa countries would include Libya, Tanzania, Algeria, Morocco, and Egypt. The Balkans would include Albania, Greece, Hungary, Bosnia, Slovenia, Croatia, and Bulgaria, and Turkey. It would also include the Mediterranean Sea, the Black Sea, Asia Minor, and some parts of Mesopotamia and the Middle East, including Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Jordan, and Israel. That is a huge amount of land, and it was under the tight control of the Roman Caesars, later emperors. It was a huge, huge place. So that is represented by the legs of iron. But if you go a little bit further, let's see, did we read that part? Okay, the feet, however, were made of iron mixed with clay, and we know that that doesn't stay together. So eventually the Roman Empire broke apart and is now pretty small because Rome's not that big. All right, but the feet of iron. Okay, so here's this beast, this terrible beast with the 10 horns. When we get to the toes, that Roman Empire is broken up and we have the toes of iron and clay, which is the revived Roman Empire. And we have, see the circle up there with that ugly little horn? We have this beast, and Daniel starts talking about his horns. So let's look at a verse, just the very last part of 7 and then 8. Okay, so this beast had 10 horns, verse 8. And I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, whom the first three horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. All right, so this kingdom is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And for us, this is where our known history stops and our future history begins. So this beast has 10 horns. Verse 8 said, the little horn arises and plucks out the horns and has eyes and a mouth. And this is a picture of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is the leader of the world. We know that he's going to be coming because he's part of the clay and part iron. He's going to be coming from the revived Roman Empire, which could include any of the countries that I just read. So we know where this man is going to come from. And he's the picture of a future global leader. So let's summarize so far what we have. All right, so we had the head of gold, which was the Babylonian Empire, and he was like the beast, the first beast, who was kind of like a lion with wings. The chest and arms was made out of silver, and that was a picture of the Persian Empire, and that had the second beast, like a bear coming up with, rising up on one side and the bones in his mouth. Then we had the belly and thighs of bronze, which were the Grecian Empire that took over, the Medo-Persians, and they were symbolized by the leopard, and just with the wings and being fast and the foreheads and all that kind of stuff. And then the Roman Empire took over. Now we have the revised Roman Empire. All right, so that's a summary. So now we're going to in the picture of earth, and Daniel's going to see a vision of heaven. Verse 9, I watched till thrones were put on in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels burning with fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000s ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated, and the books were open. So Daniel sees a picture of God Almighty on his throne. Now that should have calmed his trembling heart, or maybe it made him even more scared because now he's standing before God Almighty. I don't know. But what he sees is thrones are put in place. He sees the Father is seated. It shows that God is in control. Even though these beasts were over here, God is still seated on his throne. He is still in control. So that should be encouraging for us. The garments were white as snow. That is a symbol of wisdom and purity. His hair was like pure wool. And if you read Revelation 1:14, that's the exact same description as when John the Apostle sees God in Revelation. It says he's on a fiery throne with wheels turning. I don't know what that means. If you want to get really confused, read Ezekiel 1. That talks about a lot of burning wheels. And there's a fiery stream coming in front of the throne, and that talks about his God's purifying presence, and thousands of thousands. If you look at Revelation 5:11, where John's talking about the throne room of God, it's almost exactly described in Daniel as it is in Revelation. I mean, there's hundreds of years in between these two guys who wrote these things down. It also talks about all these angels and people standing before him, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands upon thousands. So it's a heaven has to be a super big place if all there's all of these plus all of us who aren't even there yet. So the court was seated. So yes, God has a court. And it says the books were open. It doesn't say the book. It says the books were open. So from Scripture, we can glean there are at least three books. One would be the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's the book that you talk about, I want to see my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a book that that includes all the people who have accepted the Lord as Savior. That's in that one book. And that's in Revelation 3:5. And Revelation 20:12 talks about that particular book. Then there's a book of remembrance, and this would record the good deeds that we've done, and that's in Malachi 3:16. And that is probably will be opened at the Bema seat. The Bema seat is good because we beam, because we're rewarded for the good things we've done. And then most likely there is a book of sins, because the people who have not accepted the Lord will be judged, and everything that they've done has been recorded. So we'll call that the Great White Throne Judgment, and that's the Book of Sin. So Daniel 11 and 12. So still in this heavenly picture that Daniel sees, he says, I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So this has cut out everything that happens to the Antichrist and what the Antichrist does to the world. All of that has been, he's just cut to the chase and said, the Antichrist is going to end up in the lake of fire. A lot of times the scriptures will talk about the lake of fire burning with sulfur, right? We know that sulfur smells and all that. But did you know that sulfur burns blue? And it was like an aha moment. And I realized that lake of fire and sulfur, which is burning blue, that would look like a lake. It's not like this water is on fire. It's the whole thing is fire. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I thought it was kind of interesting. So there is a judgment day for the Antichrist. Praise the Lord for that. All right, Daniel 13 and 14 there. I think I just read 13, no. As I was watching in the night visions, okay, and behold, one like the Son of Man was coming with the clouds in heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, so God the Father, God the Son are two different entities, but they're the same, so it's part of the Trinity there. The Son of Man, Jesus, is coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and to him, Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples and all nations and languages would serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom was one which shall not be destroyed. That's what we just sang about, right? Yep. All right. So the beasts are going to get their own. They will have a been done away with. Daniel sees the Son of Man coming with the clouds. In Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him. Isn't it wonderful how Scripture verifies Scripture? In Matthew 24:30, he wrote down, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So I don't know. When I go out for my walk in the morning, I like to look at the clouds. And sometimes I'm thinking, that's the cloud. I am ready, Lord. That was not the right cloud yet. So Jesus receives dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And this kingdom will include all people, all nations, and all languages, because God loves everybody. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So the kingdom is everlasting, it's going to be forever, it's not going to pass away, like the beast's kingdoms, and this kingdom shall never be destroyed. All right, let's go on to verses 15 through 18. "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions on my head troubled me. So I came nearer to one of those who stood by and asked him," did you know angels are not looking ever like a girl? Did you ever notice that? Forget the ones you have for your Christmas tree. They are not real. "He asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth." And this is just, you know, it's adding, I guess Daniel is still caught up on these beasts. So he's asking, you know, this angel, they're standing in heaven. He's, "I got a question. What on earth happened over here?" So he's telling him, "The great beasts which you saw were four, and they will arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever." Amen. That's right. All right. So Daniel is still troubled. He goes to ask, what does this all mean? And at the bottom, it says that this kingdom, the kingdom of God, is given to the saints. I am Saint Dawn. You are saints too. We don't have to do some miracle to get sainted. Is that what they call it? If we love the Lord and have accepted him as our Savior, we are his saints. So Daniel, in verse 19, he says, "I wished to know the truth." Wouldn't you like to know the truth of all the news that's going around today? Unfortunately, we don't have an angel we can just say, "Give me the truth." But Daniel did. So he wanted to know the truth about the four beasts. And the beast, which was different from all the others and exceedingly dreadful, with its iron teeth, with its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces, trampled of the residue of his feet. And he wanted to know about that 10 horns that were on the beast's head and the other horn that came up and the three fell. You know, and he had eyes and all. He wants to know, what is this horn thing? So he was troubled. And then he wanted to know about this thing. Okay, that is the cone head Antichrist ever saw. If you ever watch the movies. Okay, never mind. But the Antichrist is this man who is going to rise up after the church has been raptured, and for 7 years, there's the first 3.5 years, there's going to be peace. He's a man of peace. He's going to be very charismatic. I mean, he is going to be the savior of the world. I'm glad all those Christians are gone. Now we can get to business, and he is going to be our leader. He'll be hailed that for 3.5 years. At the 3.5 year mark, well, 7 years, 3.5 is the middle point. At the 3.5 year mark, this man is going to go into the rebuilt temple. The Jews have already built their temple. And by the way, you know, of course, that every single instrument, every single priestly garment, everything is ready for the new temple to be rebuilt. All they're waiting for is to make the building itself, and then they're ready to go. That's already done. That kind of makes me think, we might be in the last days. All right. So anyway, this guy, at 3.5 years, he goes into the temple and he says, I am God. Worship me. And he has a sidekick called the false prophet. Thank you. Whew. And the false prophet says, those who don't worship the beast and take his mark, and we know that as a 666, the mark of the beast, you will be killed. You'll not be able to buy or sell. I wonder how soon that is coming to America. I mean, just think of it. A mark, a vaccination mark, a passport. Money is not worth anything anymore. I mean, it's scary thinking. So where are we here? Okay, so the beast is going to devour, 23 through 25, let's go there. 23 says, and thus he said, the fourth beast will be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from the others. Okay, we talked about all of that and the pompous guy. And this Antichrist will be in control of the globe. There will be a global economy, not individual nations, but they will all be under one leader. And the World Economic Forum right now, which is a bunch of very, really rich guys getting together, talking about how to reset after COVID, how to get this new world order agenda. Well, I even heard Biden talk about the new world order. That should send a red flag to everybody. It was just the last couple days. The new world order. That's what this World Economic Forum agenda is all about. It suggests that we should have one world leader because we wouldn't be fighting everything because we'd be all on the same page. Sounds wonderful, but I mean, this is Antichrist stuff. So the Antichrist will speak about God. He'll want to change times and laws. That was at the end of 25. He shall intend to change times and law. Wasn't it just, okay, forget the daylight savings thing. But changing law, are we not in America changing our Constitution? And people are all right with that? They're going to be fine with it after the church is gone. Ugh. Then the saints will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. 1 year plus 2 years plus a half a year is 3.5 years. The saints, the people who have accepted the Lord after the rapture, when it finally, you know, the light goes off, that this is real, there's going to be many, many people who will be accepting the Lord as Savior. Unfortunately, after the rapture, those people will be martyred. Those Christians will be martyred. And it gets pretty graphic later about how they will be martyred, but you can find that in here. All right, so I'm running short on time. So the whole thing is that when Daniel saw all this stuff, he was very, very worried. Here's the kingdom of God. Give us a happy picture. Kingdom of God that we will inherit. There's not going to be smog. There's not going to be cars. In my part of the kingdom, there's no dust allowed because I'm not vacuuming. So what can we learn from this? One, don't be like Daniel and be terrified and dread, you know, have this feeling of dread. What we can take home with us today is no matter what is happening in the world, no matter what's happening in your world, God is in control. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He is in control. And it's so easy to get our eyes focused on all this other stuff. Things are changing so fast. It's like, what happened here? We thought, oh, that's terrible. And then tomorrow comes, and then what? And then tomorrow, the next day, and it gets worse and worse and worse. So we can get caught up in that and just, you know, have this sense of dread. But remember that God is in control. So that's the first thing we need to go home with. Second thing, God loves us. How I know God loves us is that he wrote this down so it's not going to take us by surprise. He loves us. He wanted us to know what is going to happen. Daniel had no idea what he was seeing. But now, oh my gosh, we can look back and we can see the history. We can see that's exactly what happened. And so we can assume that the future is exactly what God says it's going to be. So that should encourage us that God loves us. And God said in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So that should give us great peace. And then God has made a way. He's made a way for us not to be involved with this, you know, be devoured by this terrible beast, this way that the world is going to go, because we have a way of salvation. He's forgiven us of our sins. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have a future and a hope. No matter what goes on in the world, no matter who comes into power, no matter what craziness happens, we have a way. We have a future and a hope, and our future is going to be with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, be rapture ready. It can happen anytime. Everything is done except the rapture, and the rapture brings in the last part of the prophecy in the Bible. We are ready for that, so be ready for it. I told the ladies this morning, you know what? When I die, when the Lord takes me, I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be doing something with the Lord and for the Lord. And Maranatha. Does anybody know what that means? It means come, Lord Jesus. So Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm ready, and I hope you are too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us a future and a hope. God, you have given us everything we need to live a fruitful life. And Lord, you have chosen us to be alive at this time in our lives, this time in history, Lord. Help us to be wise and see the signs right before our eyes. As Lord, you said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for our redemption draws nigh. So, Father, thank you for this. Bless the ladies as they go into their groups, and help us just to put this deep into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have good groups. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.